the latest agriculture news from across the state and the nation, here's Farm City Newsday by AgNet West. Here's your host, Danielle Leal.
Hey, good morning, and thanks for joining us today here on AgNet West Farm City Newsday. Moving right along into today's program headlines, Brian German is talking with us about measuring moisture in drought-stressed corn and how it can help you make some harvest decisions. Also in today's show, interest and options for crop insurance are growing for organic and specialty crops. And there's been a lot of talk nationwide about the proposed tax changes to the stepped-up basis. I'm starting off today's program with why you should get with your tax advisor now to stay ahead of the game. Let's jump right in. Agriculture tax advisor firm Kayco Isom welcomed the proposed tax package that would drop previously suggested changes to the step-up in basis. While the legislation is far from the finish line and the proposal is far from final, Kayco's tax advisors noted that the proposed language includes changes that could significantly impact many farmers and ranchers. The firm says farmers and ranchers need to evaluate and address potential tax impacts before year end. Other changes in the proposed tax bill, including accelerating the reversion of prior estate tax rates and estate tax exemptions, will have the potential to affect farmers without adjustments. According to Kayco's tax advisors, there are opportunities to avoid some anticipated negative effects with proper year-end planning. A spokesperson for the firm says, quote, every farmer and other agriculture business owner should be talking with their tax advisors and legal counsels today to evaluate the proposed changes in this bill. NAFB contributed to that report. And now we've got back-to-back reports with AgNet West's Brian German.
When corn silage suffers from drought stress, it can complicate the process of making harvesting decisions. Looking at the milk line or condition of the ears is a common method for estimating whole plant moisture, but challenges arise when grown in drought conditions. Cooperative Extension Agronomy and Nutrient Management Farm Advisor for Fresno, Kings, and Tulare Counties, Nick Clark, noted some of the recommendations for determining moisture levels in drought-stressed corn.
The problem with drought-stressed corn is that depending on when the drought occurs, you know, whether it's an acute drought stress during like pollination, for example, which is probably the most greatest negative impact on yield, or if it's a chronic drought stress, meaning it's just underwatered all season, the ear development becomes less than ideal. Sometimes there won't even be an ear, or the kernel set on the ear will be delayed or won't even occur. So then using the ear as an indicator makes it too difficult to try and decide what the whole plant moisture is. At that point, we recommend taking actual stalks out of the field and chipping or shredding them, or running a test strip with a chopper through the field and looking at the actual chop material, putting it through something like a small forage dryer or a microwave oven until it's dry, or doing the squeeze ball test by hand.
Several considerations need to be taken into account when making decisions on establishing a cover crop in almond orchards. Director of Pollination Programs at Project APIS-M, Billy Sink, explained that resources are available to help growers choose what's best for their operation.
With the Cover Crop Best Management Practices Guide, as well as the technical assistance and free seed through the Seeds Herbies program, these are both great resources to help growers decide what type of cover crop they're going to plant, how they're going to plant it, what they can expect, and how to terminate it, and the best ways to manage that cover crop so you can get all those benefits but still have the clean, flat orchard floor that almond growers have come to rely on for a safe and efficient harvest.
The Seeds for Bees program can provide individual cover crop guidance for growers, as management practices are key to maximizing the benefits of cover crops along with selecting the right cover crop mix.
It's important to remember, you know, you don't have to pick just one. We have some growers put a certain type of mix on immature orchards, and then mature orchards get another one. Or they'll put two different mixes in the same row, alternating rows, and kind of spread the different diversity and benefits that way.
More information about pollinators and cover crops is available at almonds.com/pollination. I'm Brian German for AgNet West Radio Network.
Thanks, Brian, and stay tuned later in the show as we've got the full conversation on considerations for maximizing cover crop benefits in this week's Almond Update. Right now, it is time for us to head out for a short break. We'll be right back with more of the day's national headlines and local reports, including our livestock report from Randall Wiseman, when we return. Are you looking to increase yields up to $1,200 per acre? Well, our friends over at Phycoterra have a soil microbe food that's the glue your soil needs to improve the microbial life and provide growth to your crop and return. With the application of Phycoterra to your soil, it can increase water retention, improve nut quality, and provide longer-term viability. You can stick to growing and let Phycoterra stick to your soil. Head on over to phycoterra.com/almonds to see the difference on your orchards today. That's phycoterra.com/almonds. BioBest Sustainable Crop Management is the leader and most reliable supplier in biological crop protection and pollination. Since 1987, their team has dedicated themselves to bringing you sustainable alternatives for pest management. Interested in hearing more? Reach their representatives at customerservice.na@biobestgroup.com. That's customerservice.na@biobestgroup.com. And a local representative will reach out to you within 24 hours. BioBest North America, defining sustainable agriculture.
Wild Eye is a proud partner of growers throughout the Valley State and Nation, providing reliable, affordable, field-proven monitoring and control solutions to help you save time and money and use water effectively. With in-person events back again, the folks from Wild Eye look forward to seeing everyone at the upcoming Crop Consultants Conference in Visalia or the Western Groundwater Conference in Burbank. With more than 50,000 systems working daily on farms like yours, you can count on Wild Eye. Visit them today at mywildeye.com.
Hey everyone, we're back with Mike Boer, co-chair of the 2022 Unified Wine and Grape Symposium. Now, Mike, we've talked all about the when and the where of the event, the importance of it for the industry, but now I'd like to get some details on what we can expect from the symposium. So can you tell me, will this event be in person or virtual?
Well, at the moment, we have no plans on a virtual conference. Well, last year, we did 100% virtual, and under that format, it was a success. But we have no intention of doing either hybrid or virtual. It's going to be in person. And based on the fact that this is a very social gathering as well as a tremendous informational meeting, that everybody is pretty excited about this one.
And I'm sure the excitement is right there for folks who want to have an exhibit at the show, right?
Yeah, we anticipate that it's another sellout year for exhibits. However, because the expanded space for the Safe Credit Union Convention Center, there's a rare opportunity for companies to get on the wait list. And depending on our current exhibitor list, a good chance of being offered a booth. So if anyone is about interested in exhibiting, they should do it now.
For more information, visit unifiedsymposium.org.
Welcome back to Farm City Newsday by Agnet West. In today's national headline, sponsored by the American Farm Bureau Federation and the National Association of Farm Broadcasters. Higher commodity prices are contributing to a sharp increase in U.S. net farm income in 2021. However, under current policies, farm income could drop again in 2022 as government payments decline and production expenses rise. That's according to the September University of Missouri Food and Agricultural Policy Research Institute September Baseline Report. In 2022, FAPRI predicts net farm income declines by $23 billion, and net cash income falls even more sharply. Reduced government payments and higher production expenses explain the decline, as there is little net change in farm receipts. In later years, projected net farm income remains fairly steady in normal terms, at just under $100 billion each year. Rising asset values and slower growth in debt reduces the sector's debt-to-asset ratio in 2021 and 22, temporarily reversing the trend of previous years. Lower projected farm income can halt the rise in farm real estate values in 2023, and the debt-to-asset ratio again begins to increase. These headlines are brought to you by NAFB and sponsored by the American Farm Bureau Federation. Now back to the show.
You're listening to Farm City Newsday by Agnet West. I'm your host, Danielle Leal, and now for more local news, here's Brian German.
The number of ag producers who purchase crop insurance for their specialty and organic crops continues to increase. USDA has highlighted its work with producers and ag groups to create new crop insurance options and to expand and improve current options as two of the driving factors for the increased interest. Reports on specialty and organic crops were recently released by USDA's Risk Management Agency, which point out the various insurance option improvements made in recent years. Some of the improvements made were directed by the 2018 Farm Bill, while others came as a result of producer feedback and research. Some of the new insurance options include specific coverage for California and Florida citrus, as well as production and revenue history. Whole farm revenue protection, along with hemp insurance options, have also received significant improvements. The figures clearly demonstrate a growing interest in crop insurance options. Liabilities for insured specialty crops rose from $1 billion to more than $20 billion between 1990 and 2020. During that same time period, liabilities for insured organic crops rose from $207 million to more than $1.7 billion. The number of policies has also more than doubled in the last 30 years. I'm Brian German for AgNet West Radio Network.
Well, in today's livestock news, U.S. beef exports are on a record pace this year, reaching $5.58 billion through July. According to a report from the U.S. Meat Export Federation's Joe Sheely, South Korea is this year's leading value market.
In this U.S. Meat Export Federation report, we look at U.S. beef exports to South Korea, which are on a record pace and likely to exceed $2 billion for the first time in 2021. In recent remarks to beef industry leaders, USMEF President and CEO Dan Hallstrom highlighted U.S. beef's success in Korea's e-commerce sector.
The one spot in the world that was booming on e-commerce and digital platforms before COVID-19, before the pandemic, was definitely Korea. And all the last year and a half has done is expedite that demand. I mean, Korea is booming at the seams with these platforms. Most of them have 24-hour delivery capabilities anywhere in Seoul. And in fact, there's one platform that recently rolled out where you can deliver anywhere within 1 hour in Seoul, Korea. Anybody familiar with the traffic in Seoul knows that something as simple as going around the block could take 20 minutes at rush hour. So with warehouses around the city and a fleet literally of hundreds of motor scooters to weave in and out of traffic, they're able to guarantee less than an hour, in a lot of cases, less than 30-minute delivery of your U.S. beef products.
Hallstrom added that the beef checkoff program played a major role in restoring Korean consumers' confidence in the safety of U.S. beef following BSE.
Going into BSE in December of 2003, probably the fastest growing market for U.S. beef was Korea. And then that whole world changed when BSE was announced. So what we've done since 2010 is USMEF conducts a Gallup consumer survey twice a year to try to gauge the progress being made in terms of consumer confidence in U.S. beef safety. We were a low of 5.3% in 2010, and the June 2021 numbers are at 65.3%. Immense growth in consumer confidence. And this is really attributable to all of you. The beef checkoff dollars invested over the years in one of our largest markets to regain that confidence in U.S. beef. And I'm here to tell you today, it's been a success.
For more information, please visit usmef.org. For the U.S. Meat Export Federation, I'm Joe Sheely.
Thanks, Joe. And the National Milk Producers Federation and U.S. Dairy Export Council joined several other organizations this week in urging the Biden administration to take additional steps to alleviate the ongoing pork crisis. The letter sent to the White House was from a coalition of 77 ag and food associations. Since early this year, dairy and other ag exporters have been facing unprecedented challenges in securing shipping container space on ocean vessels while contending with an accumulation of fees. Now, delays and an international lack of transparency and flexibility from ocean carriers have cost American dairy exporters over $300 million through just the first half of this year, or 12% of the total export value. You can read more about this on the USMEF website, usmef.org. I'm Randall Wiseman for AgNet West.
Thanks, Randall. And in more agriculture news, a quick fire update with livestock evacuation details. There are currently 15 fires burning up and down the state, with some of the major fires being the Dixie Fire, the Calder Fire, and most recently the Walkers and K&P Complex Fire in Tulare County. These fires are evacuating folks and their livestock who reside in the general area. There is a fire evacuation center for livestock in Tulare County. If you require assistance with livestock or animal evacuations, you can transport your animals to the International Agri Center in Tulare for temporary shelter if the space is available. To make accommodations, please call the Tulare County Animal Services Office at 636-4050 for assistance. Also, if you have the ability to shelter livestock or loan portable panels for corrals, reach out to TCAS manager Casey Heffington at 559-679-6222. Private arrangements must be made between the livestock owner and the landowner if housed outside of a county facility. You can also visit tcanimalservices.org/animalservices to register for assistance or to offer temporary shelter for livestock. If you're a livestock owner in an area outside of Tulare County where wildfires are requiring evacuations, contact your local Farm Bureau or Agricultural Commissioner's Office with details on how and where to store your livestock. And it's that time where we head out for a short break. We'll be right back with more of the day's agriculture news and farm features when we return. Are you looking to increase yields up to $1,200 per acre? Well, our friends over at Phycoterra have a soil microbe food that's the glue your soil needs to improve the microbial life and provide growth to your crop and return. With the application of Phycoterra to your soil, it can increase water retention, improve nut quality, and provide longer-term viability. You can stick to growing and let Phycoterra stick to your soil. Head on over to phycoterra.com/almonds to see the difference on your orchards today. That's phycoterra.com/almonds. BioBest Sustainable Crop Management is the leader and most reliable supplier in biological crop protection and pollination. Since 1987, their team has dedicated themselves to bringing you sustainable alternatives for pest management. Interested in hearing more? Reach their representatives at customerservice.na@biobestgroup.com. That's customerservice.na@biobestgroup.com. And a local representative will reach out to you within 24 hours. BioBest North America, defining sustainable agriculture.
Wild Eye is a proud partner of growers throughout the Valley, state, and nation, providing reliable, affordable, field-proven monitoring and control solutions to help you save time and money and use water effectively. With in-person events back again, the folks from Wild Eye look forward to seeing everyone at the upcoming Crop Consultants Conference in Visalia or the Western Groundwater Conference in Burbank. With more than 50,000 systems working daily on farms like yours, you can count on WildEye. Visit them today at mywildeye.com.
Welcome back to Farm City News Day by Agnet West. I'm your host, Danielle Leal, tossing it right on over to Agnet West, Brian German, with this week's Almond Update.
Today's specialty crop news brought to you by the Almond Board of California. You can find them online at almonds.com. We're talking cover crops here again today, and joining us is Billy Sink, Director of Pollination Programs at Project Apis M. Now, on the show, we've recently spoke with Vivian Waters from UC Davis about the latest cover crop BMPs that have come out, and we'll get into that a little bit more here again this morning in a bit. But first, let's start with maybe an overview of just some of the benefits that cover crops can provide, particularly as it relates to bees, but also soil health.
Yeah, it's important to remember that there's a balance between soil health benefits and benefits to pollinators, including managed bees that we need for almond pollination. And what cover crops do is kind of check a bunch of different boxes all at the same time. It helps break up compacted soil and help water actually infiltrate down to where it needs to go. It helps increase organic matter, which can actually increase the water holding capacity in the soil, which is very important on any year, and especially on a drought year. It can help compete with other weeds. You know, I've had a lot of growers report that they've had to do significantly less mowing because of the weeds. It can put natural sources of nitrogen into the ground. That's what the legumes do. And all these things are happening while these plants are blooming and feeding bees at critical times of the year, especially before, during, and after almond pollination. So that extra quantity and diversity of natural pollen and all the different amino acids that's contained within those really help the bees build up their population. It helps the bees communicate more effectively. It helps them fight pathogens. And it we've seen it helps them survive the winter better, have higher survival rates. And kind of all these things work in conjunction with each other, and they help improve your bottom line, your management, the ease of the way you do things. There's some recent UC research showing that almond orchards with cover crops, depending on their region, are anywhere from yield anywhere from 80 to 120 pounds more per acre. So you see all these different benefits affecting the orchard in different ways, but they result in a more efficient and more productive and more lucrative harvest.
Yeah, always looking to maximize the value of everything you possibly can. So it sounds like cover crops kind of offer a multitude of benefits there on several different areas. And now, you know, we're in the middle of harvest here, and growers have that on their mind. But as that starts to wrap up, that's about the time when considerations are made for cover crops, because that's typically about the time that you would start planting here. So I know there's some good resources available here for growers that might be considering it as harvest wraps up. Let's kind of go through some of the resources available for some of those growers who might be curious about getting those cover crops planted here after harvest.
Yeah, so two great resources available for growers from the Almond Board of California and Project APSM, the nonprofit organization I work for. And the Seeds for Bees program is managed by Project APSM. And with the Cover Crop Best Management Practices Guide that the Almond Board is releasing, as well as the technical assistance and free seed that I provide through the Seeds for Bees program, these are both great resources to help growers decide what type of cover crop they're going to plant, how they're going to plant it, what they can expect, and definitely how to terminate it and the best ways to kind of manage that cover crop so you can get all those benefits that we talked about, but still have the clean, flat orchard floor that almond growers have come to rely on for a safe and efficient harvest.
And included in some of those resources, there's information on the fact that there are different mixes of cover crops available. Obviously, it's not going to just be a one-size-fits-all approach here. So let's kind of go into a little bit of some of the different types of cover crop mixes that are available and what they might be able to do.
Yeah, so how you manage it is a very important part of the benefits that you will get. But the type of cover crop also matters. So the Seeds for Bees program, which is supported by Almond Board's Bee Plus Scholarship, we offer different type of seed mixes. For example, a brassica heavy blend of species that, you know, this is designed to break up compacted soil really well. It's designed to grow really well on very low amounts of water. So if growers are on drip, they can only rely on the seasonal rains. And if we're going into another drought year, maybe a brassica blend is what's best for you because it can perform really well on 5 or 6 inches of water. Then we have more legume heavy mixes like the clover mix. Those aren't going to bloom until probably after almonds, and they fix a lot of nitrogen. They really help with erosion. And then we have a mix that I call the soil builder mix. It's kind of a combination of the two, some legumes, some brassicas, and a grain to kind of do a little bit of everything. We also have a few other options that I could explain the growers kind of the pros and cons. And it's important to remember, you know, you don't have to pick just one. We have some growers, they put a certain type of mix on immature orchards, and then mature orchards get another one. Or they'll put two different mixes in the same row, alternating rows, and kind of spread the different diversity and benefits that way.
Very good. And then obviously a lot more information can be found with some of the resources that you had talked about in helping growers make some of those decisions. Now, you mentioned something called the B-Plus Scholarship. And you work very closely with the Almond Board, and this is just kind of an extension of your working relationship there. So let's kind of go over what this B-Plus scholarship is, what it can supply, and, you know, how people might be able to apply for it.
So the B-Plus scholarship through the Almond Board of California is a very important program because it helps get the word out about cover crops, about providing additional forage for pollinators. And the Almond Board, with their B-Plus scholarship, supports the Seeds for Bees program and allows us to provide free seed and provide technical advice for almond growers that are looking to kind of help their bees and soils. And it also empowers us to be a leader in other crops like walnuts and prunes and cherries and so forth. And we can kind of describe these benefits to all different types of growers because everybody is concerned about, you know, more efficient production, better soil health, and better bee health.
Well, very good. Again, we've been talking with Billy Sink from Project APSM about some of the benefits of cover crops and the choices that are available for growers. Billy, thanks for taking the time and coming on the show today.
Yeah, you're welcome. Thank you.
Thanks, Brian. It is time for us to head out for a short break. We'll be right back with more of the day's national headlines and local reports when we return. Are you looking to increase yields up to $1,200 per acre? Well, our friends over at Phycoterra have a soil microbe food that's the glue your soil needs to improve the microbial life and provide growth to your crop and return. With the application of Phycoterra to your soil, it can increase water retention, improve nut quality, and provide longer-term viability. You can stick to growing and let Phycoterra stick to your soil. Head on over to phycoterra.com/almonds to see the difference on your orchards today. That's phycoterra.com/almonds. BioBest Sustainable Crop Management is the leader and most reliable supplier in biological crop protection and pollination. Since 1987, their team has dedicated themselves to bringing you sustainable alternatives for pest management. Interested in hearing more? Reach their representatives at customerservice.na@biobestgroup.com. That's customerservice.na@biobestgroup.com. And a local representative will reach out to you within 24 hours. BioBest North America, defining sustainable agriculture.
Wild Eye is a proud partner of growers throughout the Valley, state, and nation, providing reliable, affordable, field-proven monitoring and control solutions to help you save time and money and use water effectively. With in-person events back again, the folks from Wild Eye look forward to seeing everyone at the upcoming Crop Consultants Conference in Visalia or the Western Groundwater Conference in Burbank. With more than 50,000 systems working daily on farms like yours, you can count on Wild Eye. Visit them today at mywildeye.com.
Welcome back to Farm City Newsday by Agnet West. In today's national headlines, sponsored by the American Farm Bureau Federation and the National Association of Farm Broadcasters. President Joe Biden nominated Elaine Trevino for Chief Agricultural Trade Negotiator at the United States Trade Representative's Office. Trevino is president of the Almond Alliance of California and served as a deputy secretary at the California Department of Food and Agriculture for Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger and Governor Gray Davis. In the announcement, the White House says Trevino, quote, understands tariff and non-tariff barriers to trade and the importance of maintaining America's strong trade agreements and global positioning, unquote. American Farm Bureau Federation President Zippy Duval welcomed the nomination, stating, quote, her strong roots in agriculture and her experience in America's largest exporting state have prepared her for the challenges of representing the nation on trade issues, unquote. Duval adds that opportunities to create new trade agreements with the European Union and Great Britain, as well as expanding the China Phase 1 agreement, make, quote, filling this position with the most qualified person extremely important, unquote. Agriculture Secretary Tom Vilsack heads to Italy to attend the G20 Agriculture Ministers meeting. The Department of Agriculture says Vilsack will reaffirm the United States' commitment to international engagement on agriculture and make the case for joint action on climate, food security, agricultural innovation, and closer global integration through trade. The meeting seeks to build consensus around shared concerns ahead of the G20 Leaders Summit 2021, planned for late October in Rome. The G20's membership, which includes 19 countries and the European Union, represents 60% of the world's population, 80% of global GDP, and 75% of global exports. Vilsack will deliver remarks at the G20 Open Forum on Sustainable Agriculture Thursday, along with planned personal meetings with counterparts from the European Union, Brazil, Italy, and Spain. During the meeting on Saturday, Vilsack will deliver remarks focusing on the G20's contributions to the United Nations upcoming Food Systems Summit and Climate Change Conference. These headlines are brought to you by NAFB and sponsored by the American Farm Bureau Federation. Now back to the show.
You're listening to Farm City Newsday by Agnet West. I'm your host, Danielle Leal, rounding out today's program with a California Farm Bureau Food and Farm News Report. California's table olive acreage continues to decline. Even though olive production increased this year over 2020, California's 12,800 total acres of olives in 2021 amounted to less than one-third of the state's olive acreage in 2011. The decline continues as one of California's top olive processors, Bell Carter Foods, is embroiled in a bitter legal fight with a Spanish company that was once a major business partner.
To get more information on the topics you heard today, visit Agnet West online at agnetwest.com. Get even more connected by following us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter by searching at Agnet West. And our team of Brian German at Brian German Agnet West and Danielle Leal with at D Leal Agnet West. This has been Farm City Newsday by AgNet West.